Hello and welcome to the program that helps you learn and improve your American English skills. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we will hear about what happened to some of the largest animals that ever lived on Earth. Yes, if you love stories about dinosaurs, you have come to the right place. Then we will talk about some new ideas about educating young children with technology. Here is part one of today's program. Many millions of years ago, the last dinosaurs lived in what is now the American West. Now, scientists studying dinosaur fossils have documented what happened to the ancient creatures. An exhibit showing some of the results has opened at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Bob Doty tells us more.
The dinosaurs delight 7-year-old Ella Smith. She says,
"They're very old and cool and very big."
Ella and her mother, Paige, have found themselves in a room that recreates the world just before an asteroid struck. Many scientists believe that asteroid destroyed the dinosaurs and nearly everything else. Cara Blonde directs exhibitions at the Museum of Natural History. She says Ella and her mother have only seen a preview of what will be shown 5 years from now in the new National Fossil Hall.
So the new fossil hall will tell the grand sweep of life on Earth over time. This is one little 2-million-year segment of that, but it gives us a real window into how people understand science, how they interpret the stories.
She says a few ancient creatures and their ways of living will be the basis of that exhibit.
We use a couple of our major specimens as the anchors for the story, and we deconstruct the world that they lived in by looking at the mechanics of how they lived, how they ate, who they lived with, what plants they fed on.
These dinosaurs existed in what is now the arid, very dry American West. But in their time, the area had a seaway. The deltas extending from that seaway turned out to be a perfect place for the animals to die. Over time, some of their remains became fossils. That is why the area is now rich in fossils. Kay Behrensmeyer set up the exhibition. She says the uncovered remains also document the birds, small mammals, and reptiles that survived after the dinosaurs died off.
Turtles survived. There are many aquatic ones. If they were hiding out in the water, they had more of a chance to do that, to get through. And earthworms, we actually have burrows from earthworms that are just an inch or two above the impact layer.
That layer can be seen in a piece of rock in the exhibition area. It shows when the asteroid hit, causing the animals to die. Museum fossil hunters continue to send back what they dig up in the field. Some make it to the fossil lab, which is behind glass windows in the exhibit. Visitors can watch scientists as they study and prepare the remains. This is where volunteer Bill King sorts through ancient bones of an ancient crocodile, a land and water animal.
It's like crime scene investigators, only there wasn't any crime. It's just nature and millions of years ago. And we get to do it all, hands on, at no charge.
The flowering of the planet after the dinosaurs shows that the Earth is resilient and can regenerate, be fertile again over time. But Kay Behrensmeyer says human beings are now producing fast changes in the environment. She says that with that knowledge, people need to guard that environment so future regeneration can continue. 4-year-old Nathaniel Paul is learning that lesson now.
Why do you love the dinosaurs so much?
Because I want to
learn more about them.
Because you want to learn more about them.
That should please the exhibit's organizers. They hope visitors leave the museum with greater understanding of creatures that depended on the environment, just like us humans. I'm Bob Doty.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Technology literacy is important to the economic and educational future of the next generation. Scientists and educators in the U.S. and China say it's important to introduce very young children to new technologies. They advise developing skills from computer programming to designing electronic circuits. They say that with the right approach, children learn not to be frightened of abstract thinking. Marcia James is here to explain.
Even before children learn to read and write, they can manipulate, move, and control images. Tablet computers with touch-sensitive screens are perfect for lining up simple commands. Mitchell Resnick is co-developer of a code-learning program called Scratch Junior. He says that is exactly what programming is all about.
Each block tells the characters what to do. You snap the blocks together, and you've made a computer program.
Each block has a different behavior. This block makes the cat go to the right. This one makes the cat jump. By snapping them together, I make a computer program that makes it move and then jump. That's what coding is all about, putting together sequences of actions.
7-year-old Talia Levitt is having a good time.
It's pretty fun because you can do like almost anything on it.
Parents decide how much time their children can spend using modern technology. But Sandra Calvert, director of the Children's Digital Media Center at Georgetown University, says it's all around us.
We live in the digital age, and just as it's a worry that there may be too much screen time, there's also a concern that our children will be left behind if they don't know how to use the technologies that are going to shape 21st century careers, jobs, and how we are going to succeed as a nation.
Children between the ages of 4 and 15 use tools and machines at so-called makerspaces in Beijing. The makerspace basically serves as an open access workshop. There, children between 4 and 15 use tools and machines like 3D printers to create and build projects. The young people are part of the so-called maker movement, a do-it-yourself community connecting people who like to make things with their hands. Wang Shen Li, one of the movement's pioneers, says that trend.